Hey, do you want to get your digital comics for even cheaper? Well, we are here to help. Go to comixology.com, and when you buy $15 worth of comics, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. That's right. Thanks to your buddies in the Infamous podcast, we're getting you $5 off every time you spend $15 at comixology.com. Just use the code Infamous. Hey, welcome to episode 133 of the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week we are talking stupid and futile gestures, paradoxes, movie trailers, some Game of Thrones slash Star Wars news that'll be interesting. And yeah, what's going on, man?
Not much.
Did you watch? You didn't watch any of the Super Bowl, did you?
No.
Okay. So you didn't get, did you go and watch any like the commercials or anything like that online?
No, I've only seen like a couple.
Just
I've
the ones
seen
people
the,
shared?
What is it? The Dodge Ram, I think it is, commercial.
Yeah.
Where they turn around on the way to the game.
Oh, the Vikings.
The Vikings, yeah.
I haven't
seen anything else.
Okay.
That I can think of.
Yeah, that one was interesting.
I know the David Harbour commercials are out there. I just haven't watched them.
So those are funny. They're Tide commercials.
Right.
And no one eats a Tide pod in them, which was good.
Dang.
But it was always, you know, anytime someone's
they've
wearing...
They've stepped up their game. They're eating poop on the streets of Philadelphia.
Yeah, way to go, Philly. the Tide one was funny because anytime you're wearing a clean shirt, it's a Tide commercial. So okay. any commercials where people are clean,
okay,
that was the whole premise. I did like the NFL one with Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr. doing the dirty dancing thing.
Oh, okay. So I haven't seen any of
so
that.
So the NFL has lessened their stance on end zone celebrations.
Yeah, well,
and so, you know, they practiced throwing a touchdown pass, and then their celebration was them doing the dance from Dirty Dancing, where Odell runs and Eli, you know, picks him up.
Okay.
It's pretty funny. But yeah, all right. There were a bunch of cool trailers.
Yeah.
We got a teaser for Solo, which was a surprise, because they had announced they were going to do a trailer on Good Morning America.
Right.
So we got 44 seconds. Of a minute and 44 second trailer.
And there was still stuff in that
it was a little different
that wasn't in the trailer.
Some things were in different order.
Well,
and
there's that part where he's talking to the Imperial.
Right.
And that's not even in the regular trailer.
But the voiceover is, which was weird. So I like the teaser. I like the trailer.
I thought it was all cool.
That being said, you know, it's 2 minutes of footage of a movie,
and that's all I need to see until the movie comes out.
It comes out in May,
not that there
so.
Won't be another trailer, right. But I think that they should start pulling back on how much they're spending on advertising.
I think this movie will benefit very much from a less is more.
Yeah.
The less they put out about it, the more mystery it is, and people are like, you know,
you just tease with stuff like the action figures at Toy Fair.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, the Nuremberg Toy Fair happened last weekend, and people were sneaking pictures of stuff that they weren't supposed to. And
embargoed stuff.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. I don't think that's the Millennium Falcon. We were having this conversation.
It's either not the Millennium Falcon or parts of it are the Millennium Falcon.
Maybe, yeah. I think my thought is it's a different YT class freighter.
Right.
And he falls in love with the ship and wants his own, but he can't afford a new one. And so he wins a different
one from Lando.
Lando.
Yeah.
That's my thought process.
Actually in the trailer then, the one that Lando's flying with Robot. Not Lobot, but Robot. That one could be the Falcon. And
maybe.
Then the other one that he's flying when they're flying through
the
mist.
Yeah, the beast.
It literally is the mist because there's a monster in it. When they're flying through that and they're flipping it and hitting TIE fighters, maybe that's not the Falcon.
That's my thought.
Yeah.
Which I'm okay with.
Maybe Woody Harrelson's crew just has a bunch of YT freighters that they use because of the speed and the agility of them. So, you know, that's a possibility. That would make more sense of why Lando's flying at once and then Han's flying a different one.
Right.
And then he wins that one because they destroyed the other one.
Right. So like Han wrecks it or something.
Sure, that would make sense of a story. I'm curious about Emilia Clarke's character more than anything else.
She's Empire, right?
I don't know what she is.
Because she walked out of the
she looks like
shuttle
she's dressed like an Empire.
With like
yeah.
kind of Empire gear, but that could have been for a heist right. or something.
And Tandy Newton.
So is she Santa Solo?
I don't
from
know.
From the comic?
That
you
would
think
be cool if
gonna
she
do
is.
That?
But...
So... I think they would need
I
a younger...
I kind of like that she was rocking like an afro, which would totally make sense of what Star Wars was in the 70s
yeah,
and everybody
she
looked.
She had the natural hair.
70s, and I'm like, yes.
So yeah, so there's Solo.
And Chewbacca.
Yeah, Chewie. I mean...
Double bandolier in it on... Well, I was like,
know.
Yeah.
He's the... Yeah, he comes
and of
prepared.
Course, you know, Woody Harrelson. It's like, hey.
At
that was
point,
that was the one reaction that when I showed it to her mm-hmm. was that... She was like, oh, cool, Woody Harrelson. And I'm like, oh, well, that sold there, you know.
At this point, Woody Harrelson has been so good at picking roles lately. It gives me faith in the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
Woody Harrelson just needs to do a Star Trek movie now. And he'll have hit like every single.
Every genre.
Like everything American genre-wise. Because yeah. you like. What was it? Simon Pegg was on Graham Norton mm-hmm. a couple weekends ago, and they were talking about how he's been in Star Wars, Star Trek, and Doctor Who.
Right.
And it's like Woody Harrelson's been in The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And now he's in a Star Wars movie.
Yep.
So he just needs to be in Star Trek, and he's been in three major
there you go.
Franchises.
Ah, The Hunger Games. All right, Mission Impossible 6.
And maybe he'll show up in like Ready Player One or something.
That'd be cool.
That'd be funny if he did.
But he's got to be, what is it, Boyd from, or no, what was his name? His name was Woody, right? Woody Boyd. No,
from
wait.
What?
Cheers.
Woody.
Yeah,
it
Woody.
Woody. Yeah.
Right, right. So he has to show up as Woody in Ready
oh,
Player
like
One.
Oh, like in a bar.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
like
that
you
would
walk
be cool.
in, he's cleaning yeah. the glass, but I don't think they have the rights to Cheers.
No.
All right, Mission Impossible 6 Fallout.
Which they're not calling it Mission Impossible 6 Fallout.
Well, right. Mission it's Impossible Mission Impossible Fallout. But
we don't put numbers on Mission Impossibles anymore because right. they're just stories.
Anyway, this franchise gets better with every movie, it seems. And this one looks awesome. Yeah. Henry Cavill looks like a badass in this.
Yeah, he's playing a CIA agent.
Yep. So, did you like The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
I thought it was good, yeah.
I didn't like it the first time I watched it.
I kind of felt like he should have played the Russian.
Yeah,
yeah
that was
I
my thought.
I
feel like they should have switched yeah. him and Armie Hammer. Because yeah. Armie Hammer has that all-American good looks.
Right.
Like, he is, if you say, what does a prototypical, like, all-American guy look like? It's a picture of Armie Hammer.
It's the twins from Social
yeah,
Network.
So. I mean, that's how awesome Armie Hammer is. They're like, we're just going to have you play both.
Play both characters, yeah.
So, you will be the Winklevoss.
Do you have a twin brother? No? Oh, okay. You do now.
No worries.
We cloned him in a lab.
Yeah, so I didn't hate The Man from U.N.C.L.E., but I did spend the majority of the movie thinking they should switch
it's
roles.
It's pretty much any, what's his name? That director.
Guy Ritchie.
It's pretty much any Guy Ritchie movie is like you have to watch it without any expectations.
Yeah. So, I'm a Guy Ritchie fan, though. Like
I don't know, but I mean, like, he's taken... what he's a fan of and spins it on his own.
Yeah.
So he was a fan of Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
He was a fan of Man from U.N.C.L.E., the original Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Right.
He was a fan of the Arthurian
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
So it's like he's taking these and it's like
he's adapting
doing his
way.
Own spin on it.
Yeah.
So it's like you go into those movies, don't go into them with any kind of expectations, especially if you know where the source material is from.
Right.
A lot of people didn't know what Man from U.N.C.L.E. was.
I think that's the case.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember it from, you know.
Well, sure. I mean,
the reruns
used to be on USA Network and all that. So, and it's on MeTV now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a lot of people don't know what it is. So.
But the Mission Impossible trailer looked great.
Yeah.
And they have the scene where Tom Cruise is
Angela
jumping
Bassett.
The building. Yeah. I mean. So
I've loved Angela Bassett since Strange Days.
Strange Days, yeah.
Strange Days, yeah.
All right. So You look at the franchise. The first one, the Brian De Palma one, was great.
Yeah.
The John Woo one, it was okay. It wasn't...
I wouldn't even say it was okay.
It had cool action.
It has some cool action sequence. Which
it had doves
John
flying
Woo.
Out of
Oh, right,
the,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
John Woo's known for good action.
Right.
Sequences, the story.
And then
it's not watchable.
You had three with JJ.
Which was okay.
Which set the tone for the second half of the franchise here.
Yeah.
I
oh,
feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I mean, every single one of them from this point on has been bad robot production.
And
so.
It's been better than the one before,
right,
in my opinion. And it all started with that. It wasn't a total reboot of the series,
right?
But it was definitely a redirection.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
has really worked.
Well, having like, you know, people from all the different movies show up
right
at certain points yeah. is a cool thing.
Like having Vin Rames just randomly oh, yeah. show up for five or ten minutes.
That's always nice.
Perfect,
yeah,
you know.
And I mean, you know, even though people go, "Oh, Simon Pegg," it's like Simon Pegg, I think, has enhanced. This
I was about to say, I'm not going to say Simon Pegg saved the franchise because
no,
I don't think
no.
the franchise
he's enhanced
was in,
the franchise because in, it's the humor that it needed.
Yeah.
It's the humor that
it's the cue.
It's the humor that,
was
that the first one kind of had, mm-hmm. but Tom Cruise was the humor in that one, kind right. of. And the second one had no humor.
Well, I think what made the first one good was John Voight and Tom Cruise playing off each other yeah, at the beginning yeah. and then the whole turn that John Voight was the
right.
villain. Spoiler
yeah.
alert. It's nearly 30 years old, so.
Is it really?
20-something, sorry. Okay. It's over 20 years. Maybe it might be 25 years old.
Did it come out in the 90s?
Old. Yeah.
Wow. I and remember then, seeing it in the theater.
Yeah, I saw that one in the theater in high school, so.
Yeah. Okay, then, yeah. Yeah.
And then the second one, like I said, was what it was, but the JJ one just opened up the universe of,
well,
you know, of what was possible.
It did
in
what
a Mission Impossible
JJ did
show.
With Star Trek,
yeah.
where it's like, you could do anything you want at this yeah. point. It's like the idea of, you know, the IMF isn't all powerful.
Right.
And that, but, you know, Tom Cruise is the patriot that he is.
Right.
And it's not the patriot of the United States. It's just the patriot
of the world. Making
the
sure
world,
the world is
yeah,
safe.
Yeah, making sure that, you know, and that's what's cool about it.
I'm going
to
say.
And people die.
I'm going to say something controversial real quick.
Sure.
I like Ethan Hunt better than James Bond.
Okay.
Just flat out. I think the Mission Impossible, like the modern slate of Mission Impossible
movies. You're talking
movies,
about the modern ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are better than the modern slate of James Bond movies.
Okay.
And that goes back to Pierce Brosnan through.
Okay. Because you're talking
been,
about that,
yeah,
that
this
generation.
Time frame, the Mission
yeah,
Impossible
you're talking
movies
about
have been way better.
The 90s up, yeah. pretty much.
So, all right. The next trailer was Avengers Infinity War. It's just a teaser, just a few seconds, wasn't
got
very long.
Got to see
long.
Cap's new shield.
Is it a shield or is it like just kind of a you know a brace? I don't know, but it's in the toy, in the Infinity Wars.
Oh, in the Legends?
Legends,
figure?
It's in his box.
It's his shield.
So,
it's a Wakandan shield.
It's temporary.
Well, I think what it is, you know, it's going to be the whole thing that T'Challa is going to give him something that is very precious to the Wakandan people,
right.
you know, a historical
artifact.
Item. And it's going to be that it ties to the gem somehow.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But
the gem that crashed in Wakanda was in that, and they made a shield out of it.
Do you think we'll get a flashback in Infinity War or some point where we see the gems like crashing on Earth? For some reason,
just that one.
You think
just the soul? One. I think it's the soul gem.
Okay,
I think it's the soul gem. Maybe it's not. I don't remember at this point. They're all
the soul gem is in.
Is that the
Vision.
Soul gem?
I don't know. They haven't really explained them very well.
Yeah. Well, they're not supposed to.
No,
it's just a movie.
Yeah,
it's just a movie.
I'm excited. I'm excited for it. I'm really excited for Black Panther in a couple weeks. So
the thing we've talked about this before with the franchises and how you know things change. And that Captain America has a beard.
Right.
And that. And I've always said that I, because he grows it out when he's not doing Star Trek movies, Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Why can't Captain Kirk have
a
beard?
I don't know. I agree.
I would totally
about
think that
I'm,
Captain
I'm
Kirk should have a beard
that.
In the next one.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Well, if Chris Pine is Captain
well,
Kirk.
I think
so
he will.
He
be.
Better be. Should be. All right. The last movie trailer that we're going to talk about is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. We saw a whole bunch more. That we didn't see.
Well, now it's that whole thing of it answers why some of the dinosaurs don't look right.
Right.
That they're genetic mutants.
Right, right, right.
Totally tubular, dude. They're all going to be eating pizza and...
all nuts. Yeah. Vegan pizza.
Vegan pizza.
So anyway, that's a we'll have to do an episode about that at some point.
Did you watch? Did you watch that thing? Where
the Ninja
they,
Turtle thing?
Where they revealed all of them?
No.
Oh, I just jumped.
I saw the designs and
I jumped to the designs so I could yeah. so I could show her. But I'm like, man, what
so
the hell?
There was I saw people online after the first Fallen Kingdom
yeah
preview came out saying that they thought it looked dumb and why would we want to watch this? And my thought is, well, it's a Jurassic Park movie. Of course you want to watch this because it's freaking dinosaurs. But this one opens with a raptor type thing.
Yeah.
About to eat a little girl.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
Yeah.
And then you see, you learn more about Bryce Dallas Howard's character and the guy, the tech guy
right.
that she's with. We know Owen at least jumps off of the cliff at some point.
Jumps in between the T-Rex's mouth.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
He jumps a lot.
He does. He's a jumpy fellow this time around.
Star-Lord forgot his jetpack. So
yeah, he needs the little boots.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I'm all in for this one. It looks awesome. I enjoyed Jurassic World, even with its flaws.
It didn't have much that I felt.
And then, did you?
But I'm not as judgy as most people are.
True. I just enjoy movies. I enjoy
I'm a movie fan, so I go into movies with open mind, and I don't really judge unless something's really like grown bad.
It takes a lot for me not to like a movie.
Well, and it's that, and we've had that discussion. That Last Jedi I seen 3 times in 6 days, and everything that I didn't like the first time, I didn't like the third time.
Right.
So it's like it's still going to be that way when I buy it and I'm watching it at home.
Yeah, I only.
But
saw
it's
twice
also the same way
thing.
With Force Awakens, and I haven't watched Force Awakens in like a year.
Mm-hmm.
But the things I didn't like about Force Awakens, I still don't like about Force Awakens. The things I don't like about Return of the Jedi, I still don't like about Return of the Jedi.
The fact that there's nothing not to like about Empire Strikes Back, there's still nothing not
I still
to
try
like
to find stuff wrong with Empire Strikes Back, and it's like, wait a minute.
Wait, what? No, that makes sense.
But then I'm like, you know what that is? That's Lawrence Kasdan.
Yeah.
Because if you watch The Big Chill, or you watch Silverado, or you even watch Grand Canyon, which isn't one of his best.
Right.
The story sticks together really good.
I told you when I was a kid, like, I love The Big Chill.
Yeah.
It was just, it was like one of those things where I was, again, way too young to see
right,
it.
Yeah.
But like, I still, like, I watched it not too long ago because it was on one of the streaming services
right,
for a little
yeah.
bit. It's like, oh man, I still love this movie.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Westworld. It's not in the show notes, and I'll add it. So it'll be in the
sure.
show notes.
Yeah.
So the Westworld trailer was longer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was almost a full two
and
like
a
half minutes.
2 minutes, yeah.
And then it showed a lot, but it didn't show anything.
We're going to get Native Americans this year.
Sure.
But I know we're actually going to get Native Americans because the sheriff that was not Longmire on Longmire, the sheriff of the Indian Reservation, is one of the main characters this year.
Cool.
And that.
Now
they had to delay filming because he had injured himself at home or something.
Okay.
And that, like, he didn't get an injury on set. They literally like fell at home and hurt himself.
Huh.
And they had to delay like filming for a month or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But he's a main character. So I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I look forward to seeing him. I like him.
I thought
he was really good on Longmire. He's been a lot of like, you know, stuff where. Obviously, if they have to cast Native Americans, there's a small pool of Native American
actors.
There's
not a huge set.
Which is a shame, but...
It is a shame. I thought it looked good. I loved Westworld Season 1.
Yeah. The coolest thing in this preview is the running of the bulls.
Yeah.
I mean, what else can you call it?
I don't know.
The running of the bulls. The thing that I'm like cracking up at is how many people are speculating what other worlds we're going to see.
Yeah.
And I literally, like, when we watched the preview, I was like, we're not going to see much of any other world because the show's called Westworld. It's like, if it was called Future World, I could see us seeing, like, maybe the samurais or... I mean, if a samurai shows up in the West, that's cool.
That's different.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's not called animatronic theme park world.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know? It's not called Disney World or anything.
I love Tandy
How awesome Newton. Will it be when Disney has the technology that's
God,
in Westworld?
No, thank you.
Yes!
I love Tandy Newton in the role she's playing.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see how she progresses. I like seeing Clementine back in the preview, and then Rachel Evan Wood just crushes it at this show. She crushes it. So you look at remember
Is it
Dollhouse?
Evan Rachel Wood? It's Evan Rachel Wood.
What I said?
Rachel Evan Wood.
Oh yeah, Evan Rachel Wood. Sorry.
Yeah.
You look at like Dollhouse.
Yeah.
Where it was a show where people were. You know,
programmed,
dolls,
right,
programmed,
yeah.
but they were people, they weren't robots.
Right, yeah.
And you have, an actress in Elijah Dushku who's just playing a vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't especially good in that role.
No.
And she wasn't good at going back and forth from personalities. Then you have Evan Rachel Wood, who's playing essentially a vessel who can be reprogrammed.
Right.
And when she's the vessel part, she's innocent and you feel for her.
Right.
And then you realize what she is. And there's this whole other layer that if you go back and watch, knowing what she is after the first episode.
Yeah.
And you go, or after the last episode, the 10th episode, and you go back and watch the first episode, there's a whole new appreciation for this performance that she throws down. And they had to have told her. I mean, I'm sure she knew going it was.
The show's 10 episodes. It's like, you can't not have all those scripts done.
Right.
And tell the people, okay, this is what you are. But it's the thing where I think they just like, and it's the same with Game of Thrones. They probably pull certain actors into the room. You're in the room with just the writers and producers. You can't say anything to anybody else about this.
Right.
And literally, this is what's going to happen. This is who you are. This is what you're going to do. And that way, it makes their performance better.
Right.
And it makes the performance of everybody else better because they don't know until they get the actual script for that week.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's awesome. All right. Speaking of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Good segue.
Still coming back in 2019?
It is. But the Game of Thrones Star Wars news is the Double D's have been tapped.
Is that really what they're called?
That's what people call them.
Really?
Yeah. So David Benioff and D.B. Weiss are...
See, I call them Weiss and Benioff.
Yeah.
Because I think it sounds cool.
It does. They have been tapped by Lucasfilm and Disney to do a series of Star Wars movies. Free of...
When I was thinking, oh, they're doing a TV series. Awesome.
But they're movies.
Well, yeah, they're doing movies, but I was hoping they would do a TV
series.
They're
going to do a TV series, but it'll be on the Disney streaming app.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, those two running a Disney streaming...
That would be cool.
...series would have got people to come to the Disney streaming even more.
I think they are burned out on TV at the moment.
They might be.
Because... You know, 8 years of Game of Thrones, of running the Game of Thrones show and dealing with Game of Thrones fans. I don't think they necessarily want to deal with Star Wars fans as a TV show right now.
True, yeah.
Whereas, you know, they roll out a trilogy of what I'm guessing is going to be
People are hoping that it's Knights of the Old Republic.
I told you. I said I think it'll be something Old Republic or one of the more tribal eras the Star Wars universe. Because... That's what they're good at. That's their bread and butter.
Benioff and Weiss doing the Mandalore Wars.
Yeah. Again, but it's that tribal aspect of it. So it's interesting. It's independent from Rian Johnson's trilogy. It's independent from the main saga. And it's independent from
But it's all in that universe.
But it's all Star Wars.
Right, yeah.
Which is the beauty of it.
Yeah.
So I would like it for them to be something 1,000 years ago before Yoda was born.
Okay.
And there's Jedi, there's lightsabers, there's before the Rule of
Two
came in.
That would be like the Knights of the Old Republic.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be Knights.
Well, no, I mean, that would be that era.
Right, it could be that era. But like, you know, even do before the Rule of Two came in with the Sith, so you can see more.
When I would think that like...
The Force.
Because the Mandalore Wars took place during that time period.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like... If they decide to do the Mandalore Wars, which are in the canon.
They are.
That would be cool.
It would be.
It would be cool to see, you know, a bunch of Mandalorians running around. But, yeah, the Sith would be cool, too. So, I don't know. It's all speculation at this point.
Speculation.
It's all Black Series figures that I'll be buying at this point.
No kidding. All right. Moving
on. Thanks.
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 Thanks, Lucasfilm and Double D's. All right. Moving on. So Netflix pulled a marketing coup, if you will, during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Near the end of the first half, they had a commercial for the Cloverfield Paradox.
Yeah.
And it showed a preview for it, and then it just said, coming soon.
Right.
And then the very last commercial of the Super Bowl, leading into the last minute of gameplay,
okay,
it was another commercial for it, and it said... Available to stream immediately following the game.
Ah, okay.
So, and then...
And then everybody went and watched This Is Us.
So then they went and did a live stream of them in Mission Control hitting the button to, you know, push it live, which was pretty fun. I did not watch This Is Us until Monday morning because I wasn't prepared to deal with Jack's death and commercials.
True.
So
I didn't watch it till Monday morning just because I watched that Cloverfield thing and was tired.
So after the Super Bowl ended, I watched the HBO shows that I watch.
Okay.
And I wasn't going to watch Cloverfield right away. And then I saw you watched it. You were watching it on Facebook. So it's like, all right, I'm going to watch it tonight. Because I wasn't.
You should have waited till the next day.
No. No, I was fine. Like, I didn't go to bed for like another hour and a half after I watched this. So, because the Super Bowl ended early. I mean, I started watching this before midnight.
Yeah, the Super Bowl did end early.
I am not a fan of the original Cloverfield.
Right.
We've talked about this.
We know that.
Ad nauseum. I am a huge fan of 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Mm-hmm.
But 10 Cloverfield Lane had the Cloverfield part of it tacked on way late into production.
Did it?
Yeah. So Dan Trachtenberg's story was not originally a Cloverfield movie.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this one, I was excited for when it was called The God Particle.
Yeah.
2 years ago when it was supposed to come out.
Was it called Cloverfield The God Particle?
No, it was just called The God Particle. Okay. It was called The God Particle. It was the third movie in the Cloverfield anthology series.
Okay.
And so I was excited for it because it was like, okay, they're going to be in space. Maybe we'll see something with the monsters.
Yeah.
Who knows? And then it went into production hell. It was reshot a couple times. There were a bunch of rewrites. Donald Loge's thing was just tacked on for this.
Yeah.
So, which I love Donald Loge. So,
right.
Anytime he shows up, I'm happy.
And his character had the same last name as John Goodman's character.
Right.
Right.
Anyway, so that being said, I love the cast.
Yeah.
I think everyone in the cast did a great job with what they were given.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like this was executed right.
Okay.
And it's my opinion.
Yeah.
It seems
to be a lot of people's opinions.
I don't hate it. Right. I actually went back and watched it.
I don't think people really understood it.
I watched it a second time.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is not odd for me to do for something that I don't enjoy.
Especially when it's on Netflix or something.
And especially if it's something I didn't necessarily enjoy.
Right.
And it's because, like, because you made an excellent point that I bring a lot of baggage from the original Cloverfield into this franchise. So after you said that, I said, okay, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to rewatch this.
Right. And people do that anyways. Like, people bring in baggage from stuff.
And I didn't go into it intentionally thinking I'm going
to
hate
this. You
just
got to let it go.
Because I went in with the, okay, I've been excited about this movie for a couple years.
Right.
I want to see what this is. I felt like it took all the bad parts of Event Horizon. And that's kind of what they gave us. The first time.
Yeah.
The second time through, I understood the nuances a little more.
Right.
I loved the idea that the space station replaced and essentially killed everyone on the space station in the other universe, which is why we got how do you say her last name? The golden lady from
Aisha. From Guardians of the Galaxy.
Elizabeth Debicki.
Oh, Debicki, yeah.
As Mina Jensen, as they called her. Like, so their ship was just a little bit in a different spot. And that's how she ended up in the wall with the wires.
When they turn on the energy machine, I guess. With the
collider.
The Cloverfield collider. Because the station's called Cloverfield.
Mm-hmm.
And when they turn on the collider, it literally like shifts them just a little bit into another.
Well, but it put them on the other side of the sun.
Dimension. Well, yeah.
Interesting. Because the original Cloverfield was not there. But so the way I understand the physics of this is essentially space-time folded.
Yeah.
And then unfolded.
Right.
And so it folded, placed them, and then went back to where it should be.
Right.
And it moved everything.
Well, what it was, because different dimensions run at different vibrations, when they appear in that other timeline,
yeah,
and destroyed the other Cloverfield, right, pretty much. It's sinking in the ocean at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Where they show up at, their Earth should be there,
right,
in their dimension,
right,
but they're in another dimension, so they vibrate it through, mm-hmm, and you know,
yeah,
it's that they used an idea of time travel and dimensional travel,
right,
in the sense that you can't have two things existing in the same place at the same time,
right,
and that's what they did,
the two Martys.
Yeah, well, the two Martys is a totally different.
I know.
Yeah,
but I wasn't crazy about Hamilton, the character.
Yeah,
I feel like she was the MacGuffin. She just wanted to leave. They got to the new place. Her kids were still alive. I get that.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that part. But she was going to abandon everybody from the minute the movie started. There was no drama or suspense in that character.
I don't feel that it was that way.
Okay.
I feel like the astronaut from that dimension, Elizabeth Debicki's, mm-hmm, character, which I can't remember that character's name.
Jensen.
I feel like Jensen manipulated her that way.
Okay.
Because Jensen seen a weakness, because she was weaker, because her kids died.
Right.
The world that she came from wasn't that good either, and her kids died because of it.
Right.
And Jensen used it against her.
Okay.
And that was the whole thing. Well, you can go see your kids. They're alive here.
Yeah.
Here, look at this video. Click, 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 click. Just clicks on the video, and it's like, oh, look, you know, your kids are alive. But guess what? You're there, too. So what do? Do you kill your other self?
Yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, it's like, what are you going to do when you walk up to the front door and knock on it? They're not your kids.
No.
And that, but she was weak.
It got me thinking a lot about X-Men with, like, Jean Grey and Madeline Pryor and,
yeah,
you know, Rachel Summers,
right,
and Nate.
Everybody.
Cable. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I like Daniel Bruhl, however you say it.
Daniel Bruhl, yeah.
He was awesome as Schmidt. I like that his Schmidt was evil in the alternate dimension.
Yeah, yeah, like he was a spy.
Yeah, he was sending back. He was trying to.
Well, and I like the idea that they didn't realize at first that they were in another dimension.
Yeah.
So it's like they started seeing information that wasn't their world, but it's like, wait a minute. Look at the picture. Look around. Look, because the picture totally changed.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool.
The Russian scientist from The Martian was the Russian scientist this time around, was awesome. I can't say enough good things about Chris O'Dowd.
He was fun.
I love him in everything he's been in.
When he loses his arm, that's terrible.
Yeah. That was one of the scenes that I thought was kind of corny.
See, I was like, what are they doing? Why are they doing that? And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Okay.
But then it like showed up. Volkov with the worms in him was kind of gross. But then the device that they needed inside him.
Well, that's the thing is, they don't even give you the idea that those worms are in there. They just—he's sick all of a sudden.
Yeah,
like,
well,
it's
his
like
eye, when his eye just keeps like going the wrong
way. But the
way.
It's like the shift messed with all of them, mm-hmm, in a way. And it's like for him, it was the worst. And then when he burst open, and you know, because at one point Chris O'Dowd's like, "Where'd all the worms go?"
Yeah,
and then it's like, you know, because the shift was what it was. It threw everything out of phase.
The scene with the water filling up the airlock,
was
one of the cooler space airlock scenes I've seen. Yeah,
yeah.
When it loses its structural integrity there, and it just instantly freezes as it starts to blow out the door.
Yeah,
that was really cool and really, really neat.
And really real. I mean, that would be what we're really.
Well, because a lot of times you see that in movies, and that water is getting shot out
right,
in space.
Yeah.
It's not flash freezing the entire chamber there.
I really think like a lot of the people who didn't like this didn't like it because they didn't understand it.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Because this
is a science movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it wasn't supposed to be a Cloverfield movie, like Cloverfield Lane wasn't supposed to be, okay. Maybe if you leave the Cloverfield name off, people would have liked it more.
Maybe if you keep it the God particle.
God particle,
and then the Cloverfield part is the monster at the end. Because that was cool. That was cool seeing the monster at the end.
Well, and the whole thing with the escape pod launching off was a nod to the thing that you see in the background of the video at the end of Cloverfield where something hits the water.
There was the... Did you read the graphic novel? that they did for about that?
No.
So David was telling me about this because we were talking about it on Monday night. So JJ has said that the creatures came from the ocean.
Right.
From underneath the ocean, like Pacific Rim.
Godzilla. Sort
of. Godzilla.
Yeah.
And the thing that's crashing was a Japanese satellite.
Right.
So maybe instead of a Japanese satellite, now it was Hamilton.
But they said that everything is in a time frame of the first Cloverfield movie took place in 2008.
Right.
The second Cloverfield movie took place in the teens. Mm-hmm. And this one takes place in like 2048 or something like that. What they're kind of hinting at, from what I could see, is that these are different dimensions. That all of this is happening in different dimensions, but it's because of the Cloverfield satellite's fault.
Mm.
So if we get a fourth movie, it may be explaining everything.
There's supposed to be a fourth one coming out in October.
It's fine.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe it'll explain everything and everybody will be happy.
I say 6 out of 10.
I'd give it like a 7 or 8. Yeah.
Like, I don't think a 6 out of 10 is horrible.
It was solid. I mean, it was a solid story, and you know, it's
a solid C story.
It kept me up, kept my attention. So
I stayed awake for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I watched it a second time. So, all right.
I mean, it literally, this one felt influenced by a Black Mirror, in a way.
Yeah.
Because it felt like a Black Mirror episode, like an extended Black Mirror episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, that's fine, but it's like, If don't just try to grab a movie if it's got an idea in it that seems like Cloverfield. Do a Cloverfield movie. The thing about Cloverfield, what I think is good about Cloverfield, and that's not the jiggly camera, the thing that's good about Cloverfield is it was a very original version of a giant monster movie.
And I think that's why it was
if
so
they wouldn't have,
disappointing.
Yeah, that if they wouldn't have had jiggly camera going on.
Well, I think it's the fact that they had probably the four worst people in New York to follow.
Well, that was necessary.
But then T.J. Miller's character was... T.J. Miller should have been the star of that movie instead of being the guy behind the camera.
Well, and that's the thing. I felt like he was the star because all the commentary is his and like the camera and him talking. And it's like, of all three of those actors that were in that...
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that was doing the most acting because he had the camera.
When he, yeah.
And he had to vocalize. And everybody else just had to scream a lot and slobber on themselves a lot.
Yeah, a lot of crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just felt like, I felt like the original.
It's funny looking at all those actors and they've all shown up and stuff now, except for the main guy.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
I don't know.
Because the girl that was his girlfriend is on Supergirl now, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right. So the last thing we're going to talk about today is another Netflix original, A Stupid and Futile Jester.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story of Doug Kenny, who was the co-founder of National Lampoon magazine, the co-writer of Animal House and Caddyshack. And essentially it is his life story from his senior year at Harvard until his death, which was the span of just over 10 years.
Yeah.
I love Animal House. It's one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time.
Right.
I love Caddyshack. I think I've always enjoyed Caddyshack. It's probably in my top 50, easy.
Yeah, I'm not that big a fan of Caddyshack.
I didn't realize everything that happened to get these movies made. Like I had a vague understanding of National Lampoon as a magazine.
Right.
But again, you know, this was in the 70s. I wasn't even born yet.
Right.
It was more kind of just after the fact and me spending lots of time in libraries. So it's directed by David Wayne. It's based on the book A Futile and Stupid Jester by Josh Karp. And then it's Will Forte and Domhnall Gleeson as the two main characters.
Yeah.
Did you recognize Domhnall Gleeson?
Not at all.
No, wasn't until I saw the credits. I was like, holy crap, right. That's Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah.
Now, I liked this one. And I liked it partially for its flaws.
Yeah?
Because it is a dramatic retelling of Doug Kenny's life with very, very rose-colored glasses attached to it.
Yeah, I was going to say it's more a fictional telling of Doug Kenny's life.
And so I went back.
The Martin Mull thing just like threw me because I, as you said, you're a fan of Animal House. I'm a fan of Animal House to the point that I have two different versions of the DVD with right. two different documentaries mm-hmm. telling about how the movie was made, why the movie was made, and what happened.
Right.
And what happened to everybody after the movie was made. I knew that Doug Kenny was dead.
Right.
And the Martin Mull thing was like, no, wait, you shouldn't have done that.
I knew Doug Kenny was dead, too. That's yeah. why Martin Mull flew me in. Threw me. And I think that was one of the biggest mistakes that they made.
Yeah.
But that was for...
He should have just been a narrator.
He was there for all the people who had no idea who Doug yeah. Kenny was for that quote-unquote twist that did not need to happen.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. He should have just been the narrator.
Yeah.
And it would have been fine because Martin Mull is hilarious and great.
Well, sure, yeah. And that's what I'm like. I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah, I enjoyed this. I definitely enjoyed this. I think, what's his name from The Soup? Joel McHale.
Yeah.
As Chevy Chase was an interesting casting choice.
Well, it just seemed like a lot. And that's the other part I had a problem with. A lot of the casting choices were just people from all the comedy stuff that Will Forte's worked on. And I'm like, you could have got different actors because at certain points it pulls you out of the movie.
I think when you see Seth Green as David Guest, it's like he looks nothing like David Guest.
What was
like,
it? Natasha Lyonne?
Yeah, Natasha. Yeah, that's Natasha Lyonne at this point in her career pulls you out of everything because that's Natasha Lyonne.
Ed Helms did, Joel McHale did. Yeah. It was literally like, oh, look, it's such and such.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, it's somebody that's worked with that person that's worked with that person.
Right. You and had I'm John like, Daly as Bill Murray. Yeah. He pulled me out of that one. Rick Glassman as Harold Ramis didn't work for me. Max Greenfield from New Girl as Chris Miller, who was one of the other co-writers of Animal House.
Yeah.
It's like he's too attached to Schmidt. Well, just Will from Forte.
I'm like,
I thought, but with Will Forte and Domhnall Gleeson, they did a good job with the hair and makeup to make them not look as much like them. But Will Forte's voice,
Will Forte looks like Will Forte no matter what.
But I get it.
I mean, it was Will Forte.
Yeah, Annette O'Toole as his mom.
Yeah,
you know, and then the mayor from Buffy as his dad.
Yeah,
that kind of threw me.
Harry
for a
Gruner.
Bit. Yeah, thank you.
Well, then literally there's two big bads that show up in this. Two Buffy big bads because what's his name that was actually in Animal House shows up as one of the guys they're trying to sell the magazine to.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, two Buffy big bads in the same movie. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
That it was cooler seeing the people that were in Animal House show up as just background characters than it was seeing Joel McHale as Chevy Chase and all that type of stuff.
I feel like this would have been better.
If this movie is, I mean, if this book was researched and all that, and the movie even uses a tantamount of the realistic stuff, Chevy Chase is an asshole.
Well, I think that's like well known.
But I mean,
but yeah, you're right.
They literally show that Chevy Chase is an asshole.
I mean, Chevy Chase and abandoned
Chevy Chase
him at the end.
Kind of like is one of the reasons why Doug Kenny's dead.
Yeah. Took him to Hawaii to do lots of drugs.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming, you know, I don't think this is like an Olsen twins thing where they killed Heath Ledger.
Only one of them was.
Well, the one Olsen twin killed him, whatever.
The one that was dating him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heath
Ledger did that to himself.
I know. It's just a joke. I think this would have been much better served as a documentary with actual footage. From
that's already been done. It's
right. That's
you
the
can
problem.
Go buy an
it,
animal
this
house.
Has been done.
Yeah.
And so while I enjoyed the comedy aspect,
I mean, is the book even like does the book say an unauthorized biography or a biography?
I think
or
it's just
like
a
that?
Biography.
Okay.
I don't think it's unauthorized. No. But going back though, because there's some things because I haven't watched either of those two documentaries.
Yeah.
From the DVDs. So going back, and I went back and I watched Animal House. The day after I watched this. And like, I definitely had a different appreciation for the struggle he went through to get it made the way he wanted it made.
Yeah.
And then to see how Caddyshack didn't get made the way he wanted it made and the resulting.
Well, Caddyshack's a studio.
It absolutely is. And the resulting reviews in the thoughts of Caddyshack when it first came out versus what Caddyshack is now.
I haven't watched Caddyshack in years, and I watched that
yeah.
the other day after I watched this, and I'm still like, this isn't a good movie.
It doesn't hold up.
It's not a good movie at all.
It really doesn't. Whereas Animal, you can watch Animal House right now.
The thing with Animal House is that it is a story from beginning to end. It has a beginning and an end. There is no story in Caddyshack.
It's just a bunch of gags.
It's literally...
It's like watching an episode of Family Guy.
Yeah, it's literally... You could see where the Doug Kenny gags are, and you can see where everybody else that worked on the movie's gags are.
In the studio with
and,
the gopher.
Well, the gopher's a gag. I mean, yeah. you know, the Muppets were popular.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, they threw that in there.
But, you know, I'd like to see Netflix do more of this kind of stuff, though.
Yeah.
Just better. Do it better. And don't just go in there and throw Netflix is going to do a documentary. Yeah.
If they can do it on murderers and stuff like yeah. that, they can do it on comedians that, you know, affected the world in a way.
Here's what I would have found interesting is this entire cast sitting down. Hey, how did Doug Kenny's comedy affect your
yeah.
life?
Yeah.
That's what I would have been way more interested in seeing.
Well, it's like, you know, if you wanted to do it, I mean... They could have talked to Chevy Chase.
Yeah, maybe if he talked to them. But yeah,
if he
would have
talked to them. But I think he would have because you know him and Doug Kenny were friends.
Are around to yeah. talk to. I mean, you know, John Belushi obviously is dead, but Doug Kenny is obviously dead. But most of these guys.
Harold Ramis and John
Beard
Landis
died in 2008. So.
Just talking to Landis and Ramis is all you had to do, yeah. and Ramis isn't around anymore.
No, but talk to Bill Murray. Bill Murray, you know, what did he think about it? Because, and one thing that I saw that. I definitely am going to read up more on after this, is it looked like Doug Kenny and Rodney Dangerfield did not get along.
Yeah, Rodney Dangerfield didn't get along with Ted Knight either, from yeah. what I understood.
So that's something I definitely want to look more into, but again,
I can see that. This was Rodney Dangerfield's first movie.
Yeah.
He had no idea what he was doing.
None.
And it shows when you watch the movie that he had no idea right. what he was doing, but... That character is the same character he plays in Back to School.
Right. Which I like Back to School.
Well, Back to School is a well-done movie.
Yeah. Yeah, like I agree with you 100%. Now, I did enjoy watching this.
Yeah.
Just for the story of his life, because I am such a fan of comedy. And,
but a lot of it didn't
sort of
feel real.
But none of it felt real.
Yeah.
It all felt very
staged. The beginning of Harvard and the selling of National Lampoon... to Good Housekeeping. Mm-hmm. That was real. That felt real. That was actually stuff that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But when he starts getting high, it's literally like you're just watching a fictional drug movie.
Yeah.
Fear and Loathing in New York City, kind of, you know. It's like, yeah, that kind of stuff was the stuff where I was like, okay, this has just gone too far the bad way of
yeah.
storytelling.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I think I would give this one probably a 5 out of 10. Like I as much as I enjoyed it,
yeah.
I don't think it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, you didn't cast the right people because I would have cast unknowns. Donald Gleason obviously was good enough.
They hit him yeah. out of that hair and those glasses.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was a prosthetic nose or if that's his nose.
It might have been.
But like I went back and I'm like, that is not Donald Gleason.
Yeah.
And I like Donald Gleason a lot.
I mean, he was, you know, probably one of the better parts of it. Martin Mull's role didn't need to be what it was.
His commentary is great until you find out that he's the older version of Doug Kenny. That
who doesn't exist. Right. Yeah. Which, at the beginning, you know that if you know who Doug Kenny is.
Right.
And I'm like, you just ruined the whole movie for
yeah.
me. I'm like, wait a minute. And I literally sat there and went, wait a minute. I paused it. I'm like, Doug Kenny's dead. Doug Kenny was dead
so
when
dead.
He was young.
Yeah. Although I do I do remember like leafing through National Lampoon magazines after he had died, not
right
as a kid, but later on in my teenage years, and seeing the cartoon of, you know, the glasses and the shoes and, you know, the spot where Doug
yeah.
Kenny slipped while he was looking for a place to jump.
Right.
Like that kind of that right there kind of informs you about my sense of humor.
Right.
Because that I found that just insanely funny.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, Netflix, keep doing stuff like this, though. Just do it right.
Yeah, sure.
You know, all right.
We're not getting paid by Netflix, by the way, just in case anybody's wondering.
No, but if you want to help Comixology pay us for stuff.
And Netflix, if you would like to sponsor in some way or another, we'd be happy to talk.
Yeah, but if you, like we said in the beginning, if you go to comixology.com and spend, spend $15, you get $5 off with the code Infamous.
Yes, go do it. If you like comic books, go do it.
Lots of good sales going on right now, too.
Go do it.
There's always good sales going on. So, but yeah. All right. Well, cool. We'll be back next week. Have you started Altered Carbon?
No. I don't know when I will.
I think we're going to have to find something else to talk about because I don't think I can binge it in a week.
Oh, you don't. We don't have to talk about it right away.
It's
otherwise, it's another Netflix episode.
Yeah. So, yeah, I get that. All right, guys.
Let's talk about This Is Us. Let's talk about that because we'll do you watched it, and they did do another episode last night. I haven't watched it yet.
I watched it before you came over.
But that's what I'm. Let's talk about that kind of storytelling.
There you go,
and we'll talk about some other stuff too.
All right, guys, have a great day. Whatever, whenever you're listening to this,
enjoy your time frame wherever you are.
Thank you for listening.
The future, the present, the past.
And hey, to all of our fans in Poland, thank you.
Yeah.
I was looking at our analytics over the weekend, and there seems to be a lot of you, a lot more than I expected. So if you guys are from Poland, go and on the post of this episode on Facebook, say hi if you are so inclined.
On Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook.
Yeah.
Say it on whatever one you're on.
Email us. Email us pictures of Poland so we can put them on the website.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Hi.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.